I like data. How much did this cost between the two consultants?
Well, it's one team. It's one contract.
Okay.
We received a grant from, because we're a certified local government from the state of Pennsylvania. And the grant, I don't really remember exactly. I'm going to say it's about, I really don't remember exactly.
It's somewhere in that range.
Yeah, it's in the ballpark of $50,000.
Okay, thank you. So, and that brings up a point about we are a certified local government, and I'm not sure that everybody out there, the citizens, may understand what this means. And in fact, I had to learn what it meant because when the initial changes to the HARB membership were proposed, I called up the representative, I think it was from the Pennsylvania Historic Museums and Commissions, and he told me that any changes to our requirements for these commissions had to be run through them and that he had not been approached about these. So were they approached about any impending changes, or were you going to wait until it was a little bit more formal?
No, we've been talking with him throughout the process. The grant came from their office, and we've been sharing information with them through the process.
Will we get a chance to see what their feedback is on these
suggestions?
Okay. I think one of my greatest concerns about this is that we're talking about an overlay district. We've used them a lot. We may use them in the near future. Specifically, we just enacted one, right? It's the one to protect as the student housing overlay district, right? And so an overlay district trumps the local zoning. From what I understand, when you put an overlay district on top of a zoning code, the whole purpose of that is to give a different set of regulations and concerns to that area so that the underlying zoning code is almost, I mean, zoning code still deals with use, like purposes and other things. But in terms of like a historic district overlay, that is a set of design guidelines that has been intentionally done on top of an existing zoning code with the intent of trumping that existing zoning code. Am I correct in my understanding?
A portion of it.
Okay,
a portion is changed.
Are we going to be looking at fixing the underlying friction between our overlay districts and our zoning codes everywhere in the city?
This study was only for the Southside Historic District, but the idea is that some of the same concepts could be applied in other parts of the city. There are some people who might want to reduce the heights in the CB district downtown, but that's a different discussion, a different issue. In order to limit the scope of the applicability of this proposal, we've used an overlay district so it would only apply to the Southside district.
So in creating a new changes to our zoning code that sit underneath a current overlay district, where does that leave the HCC? Because right now, as it is, the HCC is the entity. Of course, we all know, like, there's all these things that citizens don't understand, that HCC doesn't determine building site. Of course they don't. We do at City Council. We just listen to the experts, and the experts are HCC. So I was confused where HCC's role is going to be in approving building mass and density if we delineate that in an underlying zoning code. Can you help me there?
What we would like to do is make the two ordinances compatible. At this point, they are not. The zoning ordinance allows much more mass and density than what the guidelines describe. And what we want to do is bring that into balance. We have 150-foot height that's permitted in the CB. So really, we are constricting that. We're proposing to constrict that in the area of the downtown on the south side that really has more surface parking and more infill. The recommendation is to allow up to 90 feet, which brings it down by a third. And then in the balance, where we don't have so much open space, where there are existing structures, we would bring it down by about two-thirds to 60 feet. But then the guidelines would concurrently be revised so that they really match, so that we don't have these push and pull between the two ordinances, and that somewhere in the middle we can meet where there's some comfortability, really, with the amount of development that Southside can absorb.
And I would just add that in the areas where most of the historic buildings and storefronts are located, as you're walking down the sidewalk of Third Street or Fourth Street under this draft, you would see four-story buildings at maximum.
I understand, but what we've done is essentially handicap the HCC, because right now they do have discretion over 100% of the historic district. And you are saying, no, you don't have that anymore. The zoning code, like right now, we're not building 150-foot buildings for one reason, because the HCC is there to stop it. So if we're getting in the way of that process by mucking around with the underlying building codes that aren't even being followed right now, we are handicapping the HCC and their ability to oversee what is appropriate and what is not. As we've seen by this entire really very well done document, by the way, sorry I didn't say that first. If we are taking their discretion away of what is appropriate for a historic district by saying that 90-foot buildings should be allowed, where clearly there's not a 90-foot building in the historic district. There's not one. In fact, there's the 85-foot Benner building, right? So, I mean, or if there is one, I'm sorry, I may not be aware of it, but it was way before we started really understanding the effect of mass and density and all that kind of stuff. So I just felt that there was, my viewpoint may differ from yours very much, but my viewpoint is that the HCC has been doing a great job of protecting the historic district from the pressure of development. The tension isn't between, you know, this big clot here and this big clot here. It's capitalism. That's what the tension is here, is capitalism, right? These guys want to build big buildings, and the HCC has stopped them. Because it's not because they have unreasonable feelings of what should be allowed. I mean, I think if they were to see a proposal for the Siegel building as an infill, they would probably say, thumbs up. That is a great example of contrast and friction in architecture. But right now, they've been doing this job all along. And for me to say that we should, there's this friction, there's not. They're doing their job. There is no, the friction is coming from developers who want to build bigger buildings than the HCC allows, period. That's it. I'm all for a lot of what is delineated in here in terms of streamlining the process, because that is one of the most data-driven ways that we can increase affordable housing, is by making it easy for people to get stuff done. I totally agree. I think we should standardize it. I think we should do whatever it takes to lessen the reins on these little tiny buildings. But that does not mean, on the flip side, that we need to be able to raise the height here. I do not see the data for this. And I'm sorry, I don't mean to drone on, but I felt like the premise of this whole study to me was troubling. It really was. There is a lot of friction, but it's not from our public. And so me, as a city council person representing the public, I am not comfortable with the recommendations to increase the height limit downtown. I'm not.